This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Later this hour, we're going to revisit a conversation I had last month with three local chefs and someone from the James Beard Foundation in New York City about sustainable dining. But first, more and more people are looking to change their eating habits to include more locally produced food, both for health reasons and for sustainability reasons. And while it used to be kind of difficult to do that on a consistent basis, there's been quite a bit of progress made in recent years to make it more feasible for everyday people. On today's show, we're going to highlight a local nonprofit that's working to connect people with local products. Eat Locally works to link local producers with local consumers as a division of the Institute for Culinary Awareness, Research, and Education. Its new interactive map contains about 22 Lee County farms, 11 farmers markets, 10 breweries and distilleries, 5 fresh fish markets, and 2 meat markets. We're joined today by its executive director, Courtney Frazier. Courtney, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
And I'm also joined in studio by someone who works year-round to raise produce, beef, lamb, chicken, turkey, pork, ducks, eggs, and honey. Boy, that's a pantry full. Nicole Cruz is one of the owners of Circle C Farms in Felda and Bonita Springs. Nicole, thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
And as always, we invite you, the listeners, to join our conversation. The number to call is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK on Facebook. We're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So, Courtney, start by telling me a little bit about Eat Locally.
And how we got started?
Yeah.
It actually started when my husband came back from a trip to the Finger Lakes region of New York, and he had two maps. One was like all cheeses, and you could go around from cheese place to cheese place, and another one was a wine map. And I knew that we had a great local food scene here, but I'd never seen a map. And I spoke to a friend of mine, Nancy McPhee, at the Visitors and Convention Bureau here in town, and I said, hey, how come we don't have a map? She said, well, nobody's done one. You could do one. And I'd never made a map before, but I'm a huge foodie, and I knew a lot of the farmers. And so I just went on a limb and started getting the information together, and I wrote for the grant. And I received, last year, we received about $12,500 to put the first map together and publish it, which we did. We had 20,000 of our first maps and a little over 60 listings. And it was distributed by me, so it wasn't able to get very far. But we did get a bunch out, and we did it again this year, wrote another grant, and were able to do another 20,000. And this year I wrote distribution into it. So we were able to send them out far and wide, and they're in hotels and tourism kiosks, and you should see them now.
And as it stands, it's a brochure, basically.
It's a 4x9 basic brochure size, but it folds and to about 6 panels and then flips open so that the map is on the inside. And then there's information about the map and what's in season. And then a couple of our advertisers that have supported the map over the years, like 31 Produce and Shangri-La Springs and Irene's Dream came on board this year.
But then you also now have an app that's on your phone that you could download. I downloaded it this morning. It's very user-friendly.
It is. So another thing, because most people, a lot of folks like to have the convenience of being able to, you know, get the driving directions. And the physical map, the printed map, is great. But really, the map, when you look at it, is more of a, you know, kind of a representation. Mm-hmm. So the app idea was kind of twofold. And this is the first phase, but it's a listing of all of the farms and markets, basically everything that you see on the physical printed map, but on your phone. And there's also driving directions and a check-in feature so that if you want to keep track of all the places that you've gone, you can have a running list of every place that you've checked in. And that allows us some other things too, like maybe if we find somebody who's gone to all of the places listed, that maybe we could award them a prize or something along those lines.
So does that when you do a check-in, does that end up translating, or can you connect that with your social media to get the word out about the farm?
Not at this point. Now it's just on the app, and it's your personal kind of list.
Your log of
where you've gone.
Mm-hmm. The conquests
of
farms.
But that's a great idea. And we're always looking for ideas. So if there's something you want to see on the app or a feature, one of the things that farmers have said in the past is they'd love to be able to sell produce or you know, somebody could buy something and pay for it with the app.
And then
come pick it up. And we could do that with farmers markets as well. We're trying to put a beta program in place in order to do that.
It's kind of like what there are some markets that do that. I mean, grocery stores and things that may do that kind of thing. So this would be kind of like doing that, but on just a purely local level.
Correct.
That's awesome. I mean, for the future. Mm-hmm. But as it stands now, it's pretty cool because you can put in here, I'm going to go to this farm, and then you're kind of prompted to get driving directions. Mm-hmm. And right there in the app, it's going to – you say, okay, yeah. And it finds your location and gives you directions on how to actually drive your car there, which is something that doesn't happen on a paper map.
No,
and you always have your phone, and you don't always have your six-fold right. paper map in front of you. And then, you could plug it into your little, drive thing in your car, maybe able to see that map. So that's really user-friendly. But it also has farmers markets on it. And I remember a long time ago, I tried to put together a farmer market map. And I failed because there's so many of them. How do you keep up with that?
Well, there's a few people that run several markets. So Cape Coral runs three or four markets in the Cape. And then Betsy and Jean Bear runs about, 8 or 10 markets.
I think they have the one at Coconut Point. I know that.
Yeah, they have a bunch. And then Linda Miller from 41 Markets, she runs a couple, Santini's and I think Beach Baptist. Mm-hmm. So I've just been in touch with those are bigger ones. They're ones that come back every year. We have some that are hit or miss, and a lot of times they're more kind of flea markety. Mm-hmm. And I worked closely with the University of Florida, and the extension agent at the time was Roy Beckford, and we kind of made a decision that they needed to be mostly food. Mm-hmm. That was okay if you had a few items here and there, but the majority of the vendors needed to be food related in order for them to be a farmer's market. And eventually we'd like to certify them so that, you say 25, 30, 40% of the produce is local. And we certify that because we meet with the farmers and we know what they're selling. And the farmer's markets themselves, they want to be able to have that certification. That's a selling point.
Yeah, that's interesting that you bring that up. And I was going to ask that next anyway. So this is great. But it's kind of like sometimes I don't think people realize how much food that's at a farmer's market and produce may not be from near the area. It's coming from sometimes other states and other countries.
That's true. And the hard part with that is that when people go to a farmer's market, they want to buy everything. They don't want to have to make four more stops on the way home. So you're going to see things that don't grow here, like, say, baking potatoes. We don't grow russet potatoes in Florida. You only find them in Idaho and the northern states. But people want baking potatoes. And so a farmer's market will most likely have baking potatoes. It's just one of those things.
For convenience.
Yes, people want to see those. So, but you can get a majority of things. If there's an avocados, you should be able to get mangoes, bananas, and pineapples, things of that nature. Those grow here. Mm-hmm. And we should be able to, in season, be able to find them here. But it's hard.
Currently, the map is just Lee County, right?
Correct.
Is there any possibility of expanding south to Collier or north or
yes.
out east?
I've actually put it out there, and I love the opportunity to work with the Chamber of Commerce in Naples. I actually, just a few weeks ago, sent them an exploratory letter to see if it's something they'd be interested in doing. Mm-hmm. And I'm certainly open to doing that and expanding out. And that was kind of the idea, is that now that we have a map, an app, and a website, that we could just use that as like a template and then bring in the data from other places in order to make it specific to
Well, you have something to
area.
Show, right? You have something to show, and then you can have data backing it up, proof of performance, right?
Well, we're working – I do have that as well to see like how many people checked in. I can see that. Uh-huh. So I know – I can see how many people downloaded the app. And I can also see, because we have distribution now, are they flying off the shelves? Are they being taken out of the rack? Are you having to refill it?
So how has response been?
So far, it's been really positive. With this new map, because we were able to team up with Priority Marketing, we have a more of a presence. We have a press release. I've got the distribution. And things like this coming on the air with you is a wonderful opportunity to get the word out. And that's really where we're at now. It's all promotion.
Yeah, just letting people know it exists.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Because it's free.
Well, the thing that it's talking about is farms. You live on a farm yourself, right?
I do, a 5-acre farm in Buckingham.
So you have, and I guess you're on the map.
No.
No?
No. Now, the map is only for farms that are open to the public and that want to sell product at their location.
Okay.
So I don't sell anything. I'm not open to the public, and we only have eggs right now. So.
Probably a lot of eggs. From what I understand, people who start with eggs, they end up like, I have to give away a lot of eggs.
Yes, that's true. That's true. But for me, it's from my heart. And so I walk the walk. I try to talk the talk. And, I understand what it's like for a farmer. I know I'm not saying, quote, Nicole works circles around me, but
Circle C's,
yeah. Yes. But I know what goes into it, and I understand. When you get hit by a storm, or when the weather is weird, mm-hmm. I know now. When you have livestock, that you have to deal with dead stock. It's just one of those things.
Yeah,
and I appreciate it.
If you're just joining the show today, I'm talking with Courtney Frazier. She's the executive director of Eat Local Lee. And I'm also joined by Nicole Cruz from Circle C Farms, whose farm store is in Bonita Springs. Have you made an effort to eat local? And if you'd like to add your voice to our conversation, give us a call now. The number to call is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. So, Nicole, I want to ask you a little bit about your farm. You're on the map, right?
Yes, absolutely.
It's definitely a commercial farm.
Absolutely.
So tell me about what you do. You're in Felda and Bonita.
Correct. Correct. We have two farms. Mm-hmm. And then we also have our farm store. And our little farm is in Bonita, and that's where our egg-laying production is, because we have several thousand laying hens. So, yes, I totally get it. When they start laying, they just keep laying.
All the eggs.
Plenty of eggs. Well, the good thing is Easter's coming, so we have plenty of eggs for everybody to not only eat but to die and eat. Then we also have our farm store in Bonita next to the Shangri-La Springs Resort and Spa.
It moved.
We did. We moved off of the little farm. We've grown so much over the last couple of years that we needed more space. So we have a really cute little building and a really big parking lot, which is great.
Yeah, big parking lots are nice.
It's very important. And so we're situated directly next to the Shangri-La on Old 41. So it's easy access from the north end of Bonita and Estero and Fort Myers, as well as from Naples.
So your main focus is, though, animals and animal products.
Correct. We actually work with local farmers like Inyoni Farm for our produce, as well as the Shangri-La and their organic garden for produce. But we actually raise livestock. We are a protein farm. We're not a produce farm. And so what I mean by that is we raise all of the meat breeds. So we've got our beef, our lamb, our chicken, our pork, our ducks. We've got duck eggs. We have chicken eggs. We have 125 beehives. So we have our own honey as well. And then we're also, for those people who are familiar with us, know that we are the only farm in the state and one of three in the country to have an on-farm USDA-inspected abattoir and butcher shop. So everything that we raise on our farm gets harvested by hand in our butcher shop or in our facility and worked through our butcher shop, and then we sell directly to the public, to our customers.
There's only three of those in the country?
There are. There's us, there's one in Georgia, and there's one in California.
So before you had that on site, what did you have to do? Did you have to haul them somewhere else?
We did.
Where?
We had to transport either to the Tampa area, central Florida, or down south from us. There's another facility in Moorhaven and one in Miami.
And I'm imagining that would be some stress on the animal.
It was. It really was. And it was also a logistics nightmare because we had to work in with other people's facilities. So it made it somewhat untimely and inconvenienced for us to be able to have our animals done, the meat prepared, and then to have it available for sale. So now we control everything. And that's
another thing that's really interesting, too, is when you talked about we have beef, we have sheep, we have this. They're not the usual breeds either.
No, no. Well, the beef we have are Angus and Brangus. And Brangus is Brahma and Angus Cross. But our sheep, our lamb meat, is actually our own breed. And we created our own breed because everyone told us we were crazy to bring in certain breeds because they were not going to survive here in Florida with the heat and the humidity. And, when we have a tour, which we do during December, January, February, and March when it's cooler and everybody comes down from up north, I share that with them because we kind of have three seasons here in Florida. We have hot, hotter, and hottest, and which corresponds with wet, wetter, and wettest. And only certain breeds will survive without becoming sick and being needing to be put down.
Well, I think having hooves in water and mud all the time can be tough on certain breeds, but some breeds are able to deal.
Yes. Yeah. So what we did is we crossed a couple of breeds and created our own, and then the way our property is designed, it used to be very, very long ago, it used to be an old orchard. Mm-hmm. So a portion of the property's got high and low areas for the runoff.
The water to settle in.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So it works really well actually for the sheep and the cattle. It also works super great for the poultry because when it rains, it goes down into the ditching, it goes away. But the poultry are out 24/7 on the grasses, on the pastures, eating. So they love it.
So I'm wondering, I was reading about the pasture grazing and everybody kind of having a good time out on the grass and living the best life that a livestock animal can. Do you have any problems with predators, though? Because I hear a lot about that out east with, the Florida panther and other predators that are around.
We do. Occasionally we have coyote and bobcat issues. Mm-hmm. We also sometimes, depending on travel flow for the panthers, but predominantly because of the fact that we have livestock guardian dogs, we have three Maremmas, and they are truly working dogs, they're third shifters. So they work from like 6 to 8, 6 p.m. to 8 a.m. And they're out there with the sheep, with the cattle, with the poultry, and they just lay down in the field. And if they think there's an issue or a problem, they are up and they're running protection. They're our guarding system.
Wow. Have they ever had to fight someone off?
You'll hear them barking at different times of the night because when it comes around a full moon, we'll get a lot of the coyotes.
Really?
Yeah, particularly if there's a mama coyote with a den around the area. Poultry is easy pickings, so to speak. So the guardian dogs are in motion, or, you know, before and during and after a full moon for a few days. But they, you know, we don't lose that many. We're fortunate.
That's really kind of a cool story. So, okay, so you have to have your mind wrapped around all this kind of stuff. How does marketing figure into that? And how does something like this help a farm like yours?
Well, the beautiful part about this is not only is there the physical map, because a lot of us love the technology, but we really like the tactile need to be able to have the mm-hmm. map in front of us. But it's also something that we have in the store. So we, because we support other produce farms in our area, we want to make sure that not only do people know that we have our meats and our proteins available, but that there's other farmers in the area, that there's also the distilleries. There's also the seafood.
Yeah.
You know, we have the farmers markets, that there's the breweries. It's really important for people to know that within our own community that we can provide food and beverage that's locally grown with love here in the community. So it's really important not only to have the map, but the app.
Yeah.
So that people can say, oh, wait, I didn't realize that was there. Or, oh, you know, I live in Fort Myers. Here's what's there. Or, oh, I live in Bonita. Oh, there's another place. This is so cool. And people can actually enjoy local sourced vegetables and fruit and meats. Because when they come into us, a lot of times they either are just driving by and said, oh, I'm going to check that out. Or they know who we are, or it's a word of mouth thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when they come in and they can grab the brochure, which is this beautiful map, the printed one, or we can say, hey, here's the sign, look at this, download the app.
Mm-hmm.
People are able to see what's here local. And there's a lot of drive for individuals to say, I really want to eat what's here provided year round. I want to be able to know my farmer. I want to know where my stuff is coming from. I want to know what I'm eating and what I'm not eating. And mm-hmm. so if they get it from, you know, if they find out about this from us and us sharing, that's really important. And then at the same time, if they're eating the produce and they don't know about us for their proteins, they'll, oh, wow, so Circle C Farm is here and they're in Bonita and I can go shop 6 days a week and I can go in there just the same as I do like in the grocery store. Like you don't have to pre-order with our farm store.
Well, one of the things that you mentioned is the year-roundness. Mm-hmm. And Courtney, I think it's great that on the back, mm-hmm. tell me about the back of that. It has like a little graph there of what's being grown when. And I think a lot of people have this idea that everything shuts down, including farms, in the summertime, which we know is not the case when you have protein roaming around out there on the grass. But tell me what happens with produce in the summertime.
Well, there are things that grow here year-round. And the what we have on the map with this graphic is a list of what is growing and which months you'll find it, everything from asparagus to watermelon. And it lists them out in terms of, you know, month to month. So right now we are in March, April. We're in April and, you know, you got your bell peppers and carrots are coming online. I know that peaches up north are coming on. Some blueberries are up. Strawberries are still in season. Mm-hmm. So this is the high time right now. But we do have a lot of farms that are open all year round. Circle C being one of them. 31 Produce is one. Rosie Tomorrow's is open year round. So is Shelley's Southern Fresh and Buckingham Farms. Many of our farms are open year round, even if they're not producing like lots. Like with say 31 Produce, you know, they got all kinds of things that are going on.
And there are some farms that are, especially in the summertime, they really want to attract people. And even if they don't have a whole lot of produce to talk about, they're doing events and activities mm-hmm. too.
Absolutely. I know like Southern Fresh, they've got food truck nights, you know, where you can go out there and enjoy an evening on the farm and hear some live music. Mm-hmm. So they're doing a lot of things.
So it's pretty easy to find. The app is called Eat Locally. Just go to your app store and look it up. I did it this morning. If I can do it, you can do it too. It's not that hard to find, and just that downloads right onto your phone, and it gives you a map. And if you want a map in your hands, they're just distributed around town locally?
Mm-hmm. They're at the hotels and the kiosks and at the Visitors and Convention Bureau.
All right. Well, thanks both for coming in. That's all the time that we have for this part of the show. I was talking with Courtney Frazier, Executive Director of Eat Local Lee. Courtney, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
And I also want to thank Nicole Cruz from Circle C Farms. Thanks a bunch, Nicole. It's good to see you again.
Thank you. You too.
When we return, we're listening back to a conversation we had earlier this year about sustainable dining in Southwest Florida. I'm Julie Glenn, and you're listening to Gulf Coast Live. Stay with us.